Today is Wednesday, March 15, 17th day of the month of Adar. This is the women's Chumash here. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Gimel of Sefer Bereishit. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereishit, Perek Yud Gimel. And we read the split that is taking place between Avram and Lot. So we'll just read two, three psukim again, beginning with Pasuk Yud Aleph and through Pasuk Yud Dalet, and see what there is to say. Vayivchar Lot et kol kikar hayardain. He took the entire kikar, the Yardain Valley, or the plains of Yardain. Vayisa Lot mikedem, and he traveled east. Vayipardu ish me'alachiv, and they separated. Avram yashav eretz Kinaan, v'Lot yashav ba'ari hakikar, vayehal at Sdom. His tent spread all the way to the city limits of Sdom. V'anshei Sdom ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem ma'od. V'Hashem amar al Avram, acharei hi pared Lot mi'imo, sana einecha urei min ha'makom asher ata sham, tzafona v'negba v'kedma v'yama. Look around, and we'll continue later what exactly the promise was. But I want to focus on a couple of things. Number one, in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vashem Amar El Avram, Acharei Hi Pared Lot Me'imo. God spoke to Avram after Lot left. This is a comment that Rashi makes quite frequently. Take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Kol Zman Shaharasha Imo, Haya Hadibur Poresh Mimenu. As long as he was living together with Lot, the Rasha, God refused to speak to Avram. Now this is a comment that Rashi makes frequently. He will state it again in Parshat Vayetze, when Yaakov lives for 20 years in the house of Lavan. There is not one pasuk that says that God speaks to Avram, speaks to Yaakov during his stay at Lavan. Considered a gnai for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appear in a house which contains people who are less than faithful and trustworthy unto him. What?
No, he didn't talk to Moshe in Mitzrayim.
No, he did speak to Moshe in Mitzrayim, but only when Moshe was in Goshen, where they lived alone.
Hashem also appeared in a dream.
What? Yes. Okay, right. It's a difficult comment, so it probably means more of the face-to-face type. It's a difficult comment. But I want to show you something where this phenomenon exists, not only with one individual, but all of Am Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. And there are two reasons why I want to tell you, because it fits in perfectly. Number two, it'll give you something to say this week's Parsha, which is Parshat Para, this week, to understand how Bamidbar 19 fits into the rest of Sefer Bamidbar. So if you go to, for a moment, to chapter 18 of Sefer Bamidbar, just scan chapter 17, 18. Look what's happening. And then skip 19, which is the story of Parah Aduma. And then read a couple of psukim in chapter 20, in Perek Chaf. In Perek Chaf. So I'll give you 10 seconds. Should be enough time. Okay. So let me just give you the overall background. In chapter 14 of Sefer Bamidbar, which is in the middle of Parsha Shlach, God tells Am Yisrael that they will remain in the desert Yom Lashana. For every day that the Meraglim episode took place, they are decreed to stay in the Midbar for a year. So the Meraglim episode was 40 days. It says that black and white. So they are now staying 40 years in the Midbar. The 40th year is chapter 20 of Sefer Bamidbar. That's the 40th year. That is the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe in the last 38 and a half years. The Meraglim episode took place a year and a half after leaving Israel. A year and a half. And leaving Mitzrayim, rather. They left in Nisan. It took them 7 weeks to get to Sinai. At Sinai, they get the Luchot. 40 days later is Shivasa Batamuz. Moshe comes down, sees what's going on, and smashes the Luchot. Moshe spends 40 days until Rosh Chodesh Elul trying to clean up the mess. He kills 3,000 people. He prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he doesn't kill all of them and make him the great nation. Moshe goes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, spends 40 more days on Har Sinai begging God for forgiveness. Moshe comes down on Yom Kippur with the second Luchot and all of Torah Shebaal Peh and a promise of being forgiven. Very nice. The next day, the 11th of Tishrei, Moshe shares with them the mitzvah to build the Mikdash. And in fact, according to the overwhelming majority of Parshanim, the last two Parshiot which we read, Terumah and Tetzaveh, and the first half of this week's Parsha, Ki Tisa, and all of the next two Parshiot, Vayakel and Pekudei, all of them are out of order. They all took place after the second half of Parshat Ki Tisa, which describes the Chet HaEgel. They all believe that the mitzvah to build the Mishkan was a reaction to the Egel. That the Jew needed something concrete to represent the presence of God. So after the Egel, God tells Moshe, V'yikhali truma v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Almost all Parshanim, with of course the classic exception of the Ramban, who never accepts Ein Mukdam U'Mukhar B'Torah. Never, except once in the Torah where he was forced to say it, because the dates say it was out of chronological order. But other than that, the Ramban never believes it. The Ramban believes that there is a mitzvah to build a Mishkan independent of Chet Ha'Egel. Fine. Very nice. Once the Mishkan is built at the end of Parshas Pekudei, all of Sefer Vayikra takes place right there and then at Sinai as they are building the Mishkan. Nobody has moved at all. All of Sefer Vayikra, there's hardly any chronology there. Yeah, Nadav and Avihu die, couple of little episodes, but ain't nobody moving any place. This takes us to the middle of Bamidbar, to chapter 11 of Sefer Bamidbar, where God said, end of 10, let's start moving. Nos'im anachnu al hamakom, chapter 10, verse 29. Very nice. We're going to start moving. And they do start moving. They go to Paran, they go to Rephidim. Then comes the Meraglim episode. The Raglam episode and the Korach episode all take place right there and then. And now they know they're not going into Israel and will be wandering around. as the Torah predicted already in Shmot chapter 13. Vayhi b'shalach paro et ha'am v'lo nacham Elohim derech ha'midbar yam suv v'ki karavu ki amar Elohim pen yinachem ha'am b'reltam l'chama v'shavu Mitzrayim. Vayasev Elohim et ha'am derech ha'midbar yam suv. So Ibn Ezra wisely points out, this thing, God knew they were not going into Israel right away. They're going to circle the desert. The Meraglim episode was an excuse. God planned this all along because he knew they weren't ready to establish an autonomous government having been slaves for the last 210 years. Fine. So not once during those 38 and a half years until the 40th year, which is represented by the death of Miriam, the death of Aharon, the complaint for water, the Mei Merivah, and suddenly HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts talking to Moshe. There's Mei Merivah. Okay, go hit the rock. Aaron's going to die. I want Elazar to take over. Okay, fine. So there's dialogue once again. So Rashi and Parshanim will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to Am Yisrael for 38 and a half years, nor did he speak to Moshe as an individual, not once during those 38 and a half years. Because in the presence of what? Of sinners, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get involved. Doesn't get involved. And Bnei Yisrael were pretty upset about it. And Moshe was very upset about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to him. But now, in between everything that I just described to you, is chapter 19 of Sefer Bamidbar. Chapter 19 is the mitzvah of Parah Adumah. Ladies and ladies, when was the mitzvah of Parah Adumah given to us? Correct. It was given in Shmot chapter 12. That's later. That's Mara. Shmot chapter 12, before the redemption from Mitzrayim. God said on the first day of the month, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. Then what did he tell them to prepare for the 10th day of the month? The Korban Pesach. Well, there were those who were Tamei. So on the second day of the month of Nisan, 13 days before the first exit of Mitzrayim, God shared with them Parah Adumah. And where is it recorded? In Bamidbar chapter 19. So yes, Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar B'Torah. Again, I'm not going to explain Ramban's view. He disagrees. But everybody else is. So whenever you have Mukdam, Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar, what question must you ask? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put something that he told Moshe about in Parshat Bo, second day of the month of Nisan, and delays it 38 years till the end of chapter 19? Why does he do something like that? Is he trying to fool us? He's playing games?
To make the point that he doesn't speak to him in the presence of sinners.
Okay, so when is the... Okay, so now you're saying that the chapter 19 is at the 40th year. Some say it was at the year 1.5, right after Chet HaMeraglim. So what messages is being contained? So the Rav suggested. I don't know exactly when it was. Was it in the year 1.5, year 10, year 20? But it's somewhere in that time. What could have happened to Am Yisrael at that time? When God seems to be abandoning them once again.
They could have given up
and said, Nachsar, Nitna Raish, Veneshuvah Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. This God who appears to us, who appeared to us, gave us His Torah, and did everything else, hasn't said a bloody word to us for 38 and a half years. You know what saved Am Yisrael this time? The attitude that is associated with Parah Adumah. What is the attitude which enables us to observe the mitzvah of Parah Adumah. What's the attitude that we with it? We have no idea what it is. Why do we do it? Because Baruch Hu said so. So the Rav suggested Parah Adumah is placed here because not once in the 38 and a half years do we have something that is splattered throughout the Chumash. Namely what? Complaints of Am Yisrael against God. There's not one recorded. At a time when you would have expected lots of things to be going wrong, complaining, they finally got the message that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We accept His authority and we will do whatever He says despite the fact that it has zero logic unto us. So it is this idea that number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses to talk to sinners. Not only does He refuses to talk to the righteous in the company of Rishaim, as Rashi himself says. Rashi will say that by Yaakov when he's in Beit Lavan for 20 years, and Rashi will say it in Sefer Bamidbar, that the 38 and a half years, Lo haya shum dibur ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe Rabbeinu. What enables Am Yisrael to survive? Treating every episode like it's the Parah Adumah. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't know why this is happening, why this is going on. But I accept it without further questions. So that's why, even though it was actually delivered way back in Nisan, of the second day of Nisan, in Parshat Bo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu records it in Numbers chapter 19 to teach us this particular lesson. It'll go over well at the table Friday night. Yes?
How do we know that Hashem delivered the Parah Adumah mitzvah in Parshat Bo?
Rashi says that black on blue in the name of the Midrash, in order to be mitaher, people to enable them to bring Korban Pesach. If you were Tameh, somebody died in Mitzrayim, either naturally or then. How are they going to bring a Korban Pesach? In order to theoretically allow everybody to what? To bring a Korban Pesach.
So it's not in the text at all. It's just inferred from the fact that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach...
That is correct. Okay. That is correct. Correct. And Rashi himself says that. You're right. It does not appear in the text.
Also, didn't they not need it for the next 38 years because nobody was being Tameh?
What do you mean?
They needed Parah Adumah.
Oh, yes, they did. They certainly needed it because people died every single year.
But they didn't do Pesach.
We didn't do Korban Pesach. That's true. But if you wanted to go to the Mikdash, the Mishkan was there. You couldn't enter the Mishkan if you were Tameh Meit. No, people died. In fact, you went, you dug your grave, and you went in. Everybody died on Tisha B'Av every single year. And you spent the entire 24 hours of Tisha B'Av in that grave.
Oh, but they didn't die. They
if
didn't.
You died, you died. Then right. they buried you. They covered it. If the sun sets on the 11th day of the 10th day of the month of Av, ha, I got another year reprieve. Another, nobody died any other day. Only then. Yes.
Rabbi, by not speaking to them for 38 and a half years in the Midbar, and only showing the Amud Anan and
Amud
language, basically, wasn't God also making them, breaking their will, making them dependent, making them uncertain and unable to rely on themselves? They were also lost geographically.
No doubt.
So, in a way, He was setting them up so that they would have no more will of their own. They would have to rely on Him.
Good. Very nice. Yes.
I missed something because you said that Parah Adumah was set before they left Mitzrayim.
Yes.
But there were plenty of complaints after they left Mitzrayim.
I know. The lesson of Parah Adumah was not absorbed until these 38 years. And that's the reason why it's recorded later. so that we know when did it finally take effect during those 38 years. That's when. That's how the Rav suggested it, to explain why ein mukdam muchabatar. Why did he put it later? Good. That's point number one. Point number two. The text tells us, a pasuk earlier, that Anshei Sodom hayu ra'im v'chata'im l'ashem ma'od. So there is a debate between Rashi and Targum Onkelos what ra'im means and what chata'im means. So let's start, as we always do, with Rashi. Back to your gimel. Bereshit Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So Rashi says, in the caption, Ra'im. Ra'im refers to big gufam, means they were bad people. V'chata'im b'mamonam. They were sinners, transgressors, with money. They would steal, whatever it is. It's financial, unethical financial businesses, and Ra'im is personally acting like a terrible human being. That's how Rashi here interprets it. Now, how did Rashi know this? So please look at Bereshit chapter 39, verse 1. Chapter 39 in Sefer Bereshit is in the middle of Parshas Vayeshev. That's correct. Keep going. Good. Good. So we know that Yosef has been sold into Mitzrayim. And in whose house does he wind up?
Potiphar.
Now read a couple of more psukim after Potiphar tries to seduce him. What is Yosef's statement? Why he cannot succumb to her seduction? Perfect. How can I perform what? This terrible deed. What word is indicated for this inappropriate action? Ra'a. Is this a monetary issue or biguf? Biguf. Therefore, Rashi says, Ra'im is guf. You do something wrong inappropriately, because there is a pasuk. There is a pasuk that supports that. Hello. Yeah. Okay. I'm in the middle of a class. I'll call you right afterwards. Okay. In about a half hour. Okay. Thanks. Right. Okay. Right. Bye. So that's that. Then look at Devarim chapter 24, verse 15.
Before you go there, question,
go right ahead.
It says the end of the pasuk says the chakasi lelochem.
Correct.
In other words,
that when you do
faith is also used in that pasuk.
That is a good question. That's going to be one of the reasons why Targum Onkelos is going to reverse it. But now look at Devarim. Chapter 24, verse 15.
But even by
Noah, even
before that, he said, no, we talked about what kind of sin.
Hamas.
Vayar Hashem Kira Bara Ata Adam.
Correct. And it was Hamas, it was money.
But didn't we also say it was stealing people's wives?
Yes, right? It was. Right. But I'm just telling you, there are. There's no doubt. So, anybody see what I'm looking for here? 24, verse 15. I believe it's 15. What does it say? Good. It's talking about an employee, and you don't pay the employee his wages in its proper time. A daytime employee must be paid by the next morning. A nighttime employee must be paid by the next night, by sundown of that day. You have a half a day, in effect, in order to violate the law of lo talin pi'ulat sachir itcha ad boker. And it's talking about money, and what does the pasuk say? V'haya b'cha chait. Therefore, Rashi says, chata'im is what? Bimomona. Bimomona. However, if you look at Targum Unculus, on Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Anoshei Sedom, Bish, what? Now, we're back by us, I know it's a little confusing. Back by us, Pasuk Yud Gimel Targum Unculus, the Anoshei Sedom, Bishin Bimamon Honon. They were terrible with what?
Their money.
So he believes that Ra'im refers to money. V'chayavin Begav Yashun. Gviya is the person. Begufam. So they were held accountable for what they did wrong personally. That's the second thing. He does exactly the opposite of Rashi. So where did Unculus come up with this? So the second thing is very easy. You already pointed it out. That at the end of the Yosef episode with Potiphar, he says, V'chatasi l'Elohim kol hayamim. That if I were to engage Potiphar, I will sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu my whole life. So chait, chatasi, chataim has got to do with a personal transgression. What pasuk would Unculus cite in order to indicate that Ra'ah has something to do with financial money? So, take a look at Dvarim 15, chapter 9. Dvarim 15, chapter 9. Pasuk 9. Tet Vav Tet. It's in the middle of Parshat Re'eh. What's the issue?
Monetary, not to lend money when you know that the Shemitah year is coming.
Good. Somebody makes a statement in the sixth year of the Shemitah. You know, it's a little big risk to lend somebody money. Because after the Shemitah year passes, the loans are canceled. You don't have to pay back any debts that are outstanding after the Shemitah year appears. And the phrase that is used here is, if somebody shall say that I'm not going to lend money because of this, you shall carry a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like that. So he wants you to lend money and he promises he'll take care of you. Ki yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. Fine. But there it's a purely financial matter and the phrase chait is used. Hence, Targum Unculus says, I find psukim that describe chataim as having to do with what? As ra'ah. Ra'ah. It has to do with money, and that's the way he chooses to deal with it. So they each have psukim somewhere in the Chumash that support their respective opinions. What is a little troubling is that unless there is a compelling argument, Rashi usually follows Unculus's lead. If there is something compelling, he will disagree. But here, does it really make a difference whether Ra'im is personal or Chataim? When you have Psukim to both, I don't really know why Vasat Gibadot Rashi, that he had to say, you know, I know what Unculus says, and I'm going to say Punkapaya. I'm not sure what the issue was.
Well,
Not sure, yes.
That's the question. Is there a difference? I mean, if you're right, if you're bad about finances or about personal behavior, they're both equally wrong.
I'm not saying they're not. They're both equally wrong.
And the same punishment goes for both?
Not always. Punishments are different. Normally, punishments by money is just to rectify the wrong. If I steal from you, I have to pay you back. If I didn't pay your wages, I have to pay you back. You know.
But wages on time.
Yes, but if I don't do it on time, I still have to pay. Yeah. I violate the law, but I got to pay.
Shouldn't there be more punishment than just giving the money that?
No, there isn't. No, any time that there is an obligation to pay, bet din does not administer any amount of punishment. Yes.
Maybe this also illustrates that there is overlap. Financial transgressions do not just involve money being in one person's account or another, but when a person who is dependent on the money is deprived of it, he starves, he's cold, he is physically affected.
Yes, yes, no doubt. No doubt.
And it also shows a meanness in the heart.
That is correct. The mean-spirited. Yes. Yes, that's what chata'im begufam means. And Rashi quotes that example that everybody knows. Yeah. No hachnasat orchim. No inviting anybody guests. Yes. Point number two. Point number two. Pointed out by the Balaturim. He says as follows. The reason why the Torah uses the double expression ra'im v'chata'im, a very interesting insight, is ra'im, he believes, are basically character flaws, but not necessarily transgressions. If you're in need of a loan, and I decide not to lend you any money, do I technically... Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't do that. But technically, did I violate a law by failing to... You don't violate a law. There's a mitzvah to do so, but it is my money. I can't say I'm stealing, can't say I'm unethical. You can say I'm not a nice guy.
You missed a chance to do a mitzvah.
Correct, 100%. So, Balaturim claims Ra'im is a people who have these bad character flaws. Somebody's in town and doesn't know where they're going to be, and I don't invite them for a meal for Shabbos. Okay. And then I'm a varian? Did I do an aveira? No, I didn't do a mitzvah. I didn't do the right thing. Didn't demonstrate compassion and sensitivity. But it doesn't mean that I did an aveira, says the Balaturim. If you choose to live in a community where what? Where people are flawed, where their character is flawed, what's the next thing that you're going to do? Chata'im Lashem. Then you'll already do real transgressions. The impact of the person you can't isolate yourself from the people around you. And if the people around you are flawed in terms of their disposition, their character, the next thing that you're going to be doing are activities that are classified as real what? As real chata'im. It's what the Mishnah in Avot calls aveira goreret aveira. You do one thing wrong, or the very famous phrase, oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheina. You live next to a bum, you never know what happens, how it's going to impact you. So this is a theme bantered about quite frequently by Chazal, and the Balaturim claims that highlights the difference between Ra'im and Chata'im. Ra'im is a personal characteristic flaw description. Chata'im are mamash sinners. Yes.
Well, isn't the opposite also true? If you live next to a tzaddik, you might be influenced by the tzaddik.
That's the opposite thing. Right? Oy l'rasha, oy l'shcheinai. That's right. Also, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, and that you should always live heve misdabek be'afar raglehem. That's what the Mishnah says. try to cling to the dust of tzaddikim, to live near them, and yes, yes. That's the whole philosophy of the Hasidic movement. Flock, just walk in the footsteps of the Rebbe, you'll learn something positive. Just the way he walks. Avak is the dust that he kicks up. Avak ragleim. There's something, you know. And we believe in that. We believe in living in ghettos to some extent. Sometimes more than others. Teaneck is a ghetto like many other ghettos. And we feel very comfortable.
Golden again.
And there's nothing terribly wrong about it. Nothing. Not terribly. And the proof to the pudding is, as I always say, whatever happened to the great Jewish community of Brownsville? What happened to the great community of the Bronx? What happened? What happened to the great community of Washington Heights? Okay, it's been revived a little. The Lower East Side's been revived a little. But what happened? No kids ever lived in those neighborhoods. Your parents lived in Brownsville. You lived anywhere in the world except Brownsville.
That's true.
Parents live in Washington Heights. You lived anywhere but Washington Heights. No, no, but that's not the truth. There are so many kids who grew up in Teaneck and are still living in Teaneck.
Right, right.
That's it's the most unusual phenomenon around. And the reason is because it's been a very healthy, productive way of living, and kids have been attracted to it. There are just so many families whose children grew up here and are living here, which is so unusual to live next to your parents, and worse yet, next to your in-laws. How can you do that? You know, but people do it because it's not ra'im v'chatoim.
That. So pronounced when Yitzhak Yaakov is Rashi says there.
Yitzias atzadik oisa roshim. Right. Correct. Hu hoda. Who's that's correct. 100%. That was the Balaturim's point of view. Okay. Point number three. On the phrase Vahashem Omar in Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vashem Amar El Avram Acharei Hipored Lot Me'imo. God said to Avram after Lot separated from him. Or Achayim makes the following point. What is the standard introductory phrase to indicate that the Holy One, blessed be He, is about to speak to a human? Vayomer Hashem, Vaydaber Hashem, something. It never says Vahashem Amar El Moshe after this event happened. Never says that. Vahashem speaks to Yeshayahu after he had this. Doesn't say that. It only says it here. It's the only place, says Or HaChaim and Tanakh, that this happens. And he says, in his inimitable fashion, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was itching to speak to Avraham. Haven't spoken to my good friend in years. Why? Because of Lot. So as soon as Acharei Hipared Lot Me'imo, what happened that very second? Vashem Amar El Avram. He's not even giving introductions. Vayedaber Hashem. It just happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was anticipating the moment when Lot will leave so that the dialogue can resume again. Kacha, it's not the pshat, but it's a very interesting idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has this desire to speak to people who he's close with. I can understand it, because otherwise he's a little lonely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a little lonely up there. Angels don't give him any, you know, any back talk. It's like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. When Rabbi Yochanan was not well, because his 10 children predeceased him, he was a little mentally unstable. So all of his Talmidim came to console him. So the way they console him says, "Oh, Rebbe, we heard this halacha from you. There, this halacha from you." And he said, "You guys don't excite me. I know what I said. So you're telling me that you heard it from me and you repeat it. You know who I like? Resh Lakish, his brother-in-law who married Yerichan's sister. Why? Because he argues with me all the time. And when he argues with me, I have to force myself to sharpen my svara. So he's the guy I like to see. Oh, you guys, you just repeat after me. Well, what do I need you for? I don't need you to tell me that I'm right. I know I'm right. But when Resh Lakish comes, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. He needs us to engage him in a little debate every once in a while. Yeah. But that, yes, question.
I thought Lo was corrupted by Stone. He was really a Rasha all that whole time.
Okay. I was waiting for that question. I was waiting for that question. Up until now, we have always seen pictured Lot, of which there is very little information, that somebody who follows Avram, leaves his homeland, follows Avram all the time, and was somebody who was looking to perpetuate that idea until this recent fight between the shepherds and the shepherds. And then he goes off the derech and decides, you know what? I'm going to decide to go to Lot. Okay, but what up until now, he seemed to be a... Why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to him? Correct. Apparently, and I want to show you Rashi right now, please, for a second. I want to show you Rashi's comment. Oh, just one second. Just give me one second. Okay. 1 second. Good. Please read Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayivchar lo lot et kol kikar hayadein. Vayisa lot mikedem. Don't look at Rashi yet. Just translate the word Vayisa lot mikedem. Translate the word simply. You know this. And he traveled where?
From the east.
Otherwise, where did he go? He moved west. Very nice. Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Midrash Agadah. The last Rashi in Pasuk Yud. No, that's not it. Excuse me. In Pasuk Yud Aleph. The last Rashi. Let's read the Rashi. Mikedem. Nasa me'etzel Avram. V'holach lo lima'aravo shel Avram. He's traveling westward because he's going mi kedem from the east. That means you got to go west. Nimsa, conclusion, noseya mi mizrach lima'arav. Okay, that's a simple pshat. Now read Umidrash Agadah. How does he interpret the word mi kedem?
Away from
Shop mikadmono shelolam. Correct.
From God.
I want him. He's moving away completely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadmon, right? Kadmon lechol davar. We say in Yigdal. So kedem is being interpreted by the Rashi as if it had a nun in it. Kadmon, kedem. That's what I mean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chadesh yameinu kikedem, like the old days before anything even existed. Correct. We say this at a Sheva Brachos, right? Sos tosis v'sogela. Excuse me. Sameach tisamach reimav kisamechacha yitzircha began Eden mikedem. What does mikedem mean? What? No. Mikedem means before Chava was born, was created.
Really?
Yes.
That far back.
Sos tosis. In order for a person to become a person, what do you usually do? You focus on yourself. Okay, I'm not saying you ignore everybody else. But in our formative years, the overwhelming majority of our activity is spent developing ourselves. So when you have two people who are going to be Mikedem, what did Adam have to do when Chava wasn't around? Nothing. Just try to perfect himself. So when you have two people who spend a lifetime, 20 years, 22 years, whatever it is, trying to perfect themselves, and then they do what? You get together, now you can accomplish the next bracha. Of, Meheira Hashem Elokeinu Yishama Barei Yehuda V'chutzot Yerushalayim. He's interpreting the word Kedem Mikadmono Shel Olam. So Rachel, I'm not sure when Rashi buys into the fact that Lot already said, I've had it with Avram and his God. Based on this comment, which we made before, 2 seconds ago, it appears that Rashi is not in agreement with everything that we said. That at what stage did Lot already say, I'm just traveling because it's convenient for me, but at what stage did he say, I got nothing to do with him? When they left. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear.
When they left where?
They left Haran.
When he became rich enough on his own.
Excellent. Very good. Excellent. That's what the Malbim says. I forgot to photostat it for you. When suddenly, when Hatha Gedav Tovin Avram, because he didn't know where the next meal was coming from. And Avram had loads. I'm traveling with you, uncle. No problem. But the minute he started cattle on his own, and he had enough, Vostafa Chavram, who needs his rules, who needs anything. That's when, but that transition is hard to know exactly when it happened. Some claim it happened at Vayikra Bet, Bereshit Yud Gimel, chapter 2. Well, verse 2. Look it up. We learned it only 6 weeks ago. Pasuk Bet. Good. Some say that you know who else got a result? Lot got enriched by the Egyptians as well. Many commentaries. So it's a while already, but it's not exactly 100% sure when this has happened. So it's a little difficult to tell when suddenly he decided to abandon Kadmono Shel Olam, which causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, I'm not engaging Avram in dialogue. I grant you the question is better than the answer. But, like we say, you can sleep in Shlufa Matakasha. Yeah.
It almost seems like it was exactly what you were saying, but it almost seems like it was a slow process of both making the shift.
That would be the normal.
Because the Gamu Lowe calls the Lev et Abraham, the Yatzon of Abraham.
Good, right.
He was going along with Abraham. It's not he was united with him.
He's traveling
going
with him.
For the
ride. Right.
For the goods.
Good.
Did Abraham invite Lot to go with him?
Yes, he did. He invited the entire family, according to many Parshanim. We actually read Ramban said that black on white. And even Terach went with him at the beginning. His father. Yes. Right, he initiated the idea according to some. Right, that's correct. So now, just to wrap it up, I just want to show you a couple of phrases which the Midrash uses. Take a look at page number 2 for a minute. This is a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Ches. It's a long section. And it talks about the phrase which we used in Megillas Esther, about Shem Rishaim Yerakev. It's the opposite of Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Shame Rishaim, the name of the Russia shall rot. Shall
rotten.
What?
Literally is rotten.
Yeah, become rotten. Right. Minaho Milsa. How do we know this? Amalei the Hachsiv, Shame Rishaim Yerakev. Very nice. But Midoraisa Minala. How do I know that on a Doraisa level we apply this idea? Lo and behold, what pasuk did they quote? Dichsiv, Vayehel Adstom. That Lot decided to what? expand his tent all the way to stone. Uksiv va'anshei stone ra'im v'chata'im la'shemov. Omer Rabbi Elazar, listen to this. Tzadik dar ben shnei risha'im v'lo lamad mima'aseihem. Rasha dar ben shnei tzadikim v'lo lamad mima'aseihem. Now there are many applications. Don't look at the rest of the mention. I'm going to see if you can get this. Okay? Please open up your Chumash to the Haftarah of Parshat Vayera. The Haftarah of Parshat Vayera. So in some Chumashim it's right after the Parsha. In the others it's all the way in the back. Parshat, the Haftarah. The Shunammite woman, yes. The Isha Achat Menashe B'nei Sa'aka Elisha Lemor. Everybody have it? Avdecha Ishi Mei. Ve'ata Yadata Ki Hayarei Edgar Hashem. And now what? The creditors are coming to take my two children. The text never identifies who this person is. Chazal do Rashi quotes it. Who is Eshet? It's Ovadia. Ovadia was a double agent. He infiltrated Achav and Izebel's house. And that's why he tells Elisha, "Ve'ata yadata ki avdecha hayayarei Hashem." You know that my husband was what? A God-fearing individual. Nobody else knows that he was a God-fearing individual because he was living amongst Achav and Izebel, and he probably did lots of things that Achav and Izebel did, who were among the worst leaders of Israel at that particular time. So you can have somebody living amongst two scoundrels and yet wind up to be what? A tzaddik. Avdecha Yarei. And now Elisha understands what's going on, and he tells her to get the jugs of oil, and therefore she pays off the whole debt, you know the whole story, and she gets to keep her kids the rest of her life. And it's one of the biggest stories of Elisha's life. The biggest stories. And there are reverse situations. One individual can live together with two precious, righteous souls and wind up to be what? The biggest scoundrel around. And there are many examples. And one of them later on in the Medrash is our Pasha. Lot. Who did he live with? Abraham Sarai. And it didn't have an impact on him. And the Medrash goes on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no tolerance for this type of situation. He has enormous appreciation and reward for Ovadia. Enormous appreciation that he was able to overcome and remain loyal to God despite the fact that he lives in Izebel and Achav's house. Despite that, in fact, what promise is conveyed to Ovadia? It's the Haftarah of Parshas Vayishlach. What promise that we pray for every day? We say it in davening, unless you don't daven. What do we say? The Alum Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Etarei Sav V'Hayta LaShem HaMelucha. It'll come a time when the whole world will recognize that God is our God. That's what we're waiting for. That's the primary change in the Messianic era. That people will recognize that our God is the God. That's all you need. Because if you remember the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the pasuk which we say before that by Malchiyot, this which we say every day as well, Ki Lashem HaMelucha, but right now it's Moshe El Bagoyim.
Right now, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't exhibit his malchus all over the whole world. That's why you have people trying to kill us every single day. So Ovadia is rewarded with the ultimate prophecy. The Olu Moshiach Baharik Nishpot et Harisav Vahaita Lashem HaMelucha. And Lot, what happens to Lot? He lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no tolerance man, he lives together with Avram and Sarai, and then he winds up Vayehal at Sidon. We'll stop here and continue next of all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's like two ways of saying something. Is there a specific reason why it's